Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. Jay Binkley once again in for Cody Tapp. Bink, today's a snitch line day too. I know you're ready for that around 1:15. We decided not to have you do Professor Bink.
Yeah, it's a pretty good
instead,
idea.
Instead, we'll go snitch line today.
It was
we'll have
Halloween. Something like that.
I think it was. I think that's about
teaching
right.
And means they go hand in hand.
Now, although as you told us, you were once a substitute teacher and a kid needed your assistance and you started laughing in the kid's face.
Again, it was a bad choice for
me. Yeah, I think so. You guys can interact with us on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. Video stream will be up and running as well. YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, X. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. That way it makes it easy for you, right? You get notified if you have your notifications on. You don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, coming up in a half hour, Danen Hughes. He's going to join us a little bit earlier in the show than normal. He'll join us at 10:30. He, of course, is a former Chiefs wide receiver. He will be on the call in Denver Sunday afternoon. He also has players only tonight here on the station. Want to get a player's perspective on a division rivalry like this, this so-called must-win game that we've all been saying. Do players approach it that way? And as you guys know, Andy Reid was asked about Xavier Worthy and some of those tendencies that he had, at least according to the Buffalo Bills. And so Danen played the position. I'm sure he had tendencies as a player as well. I want to get his thoughts on how quickly you can change those, right? And how common is that? It's not the first time an athlete has had a tendency. That's the whole point of looking at film, among other reasons, right? So Danen will join us. We'll also, a little bit later on in the show today, talk a little fantasy football with Paul Charchian. And then Josh Klingler, who will also be on the broadcast, as you guys know, on the sideline in Denver on Sunday. He'll join us at 1 o'clock. So we've got a lot coming your way here on a Thursday as we inch closer and closer to kickoff in Denver. Before we get into the running backs and Isaiah Pacheco's health, he did not practice yesterday. I wanted to talk about the feeling for both cities going into this game a little bit. We'll play you what Nick Benito had to say about how he views the Chiefs, their current standing, what they've accomplished, basically, and maybe the respect factor there. But I think when you look at each city, and we'll have a guest on from Denver tomorrow, the idea of this team needs it more, this team needs it more than that team, I think you can make a case for both. But for me, you have on one hand a team that in the standings needs it more, right? Like, so pressure, need more, however you want to phrase it. Well, yeah, that's Kansas City, because we all know if they lose this game, their odds to win the division, I think they're zero, but I think officially the math says it goes down to about 5% chance the Chiefs can win the division with a loss. I think
well,
it's
with
over,
that schedule, Denver, it'd be hard-pressed to think they're going to lose at least more than two.
So if you're saying need versus pressure, well, look, the Chiefs need it to make sure that they can stay in the divisional conversation, to make sure that the postseason is a real option for them, that it doesn't start to get tricky. But on the other hand, you have a Broncos team. The same reason why I've been skeptical about them. Like, all right, what happens when this happens? What kind of game is Bo Nix going to play? Are they going to, for once and for all, kind of kick down the guys that have been running this division for almost a decade? That's what this game is kind of about on Sunday, I think, if you're the Denver Broncos. The Broncos lose this game, they can still win the division, they're still going to make the playoffs, all that. But there is something to the psyche of you get the Chiefs, and you basically bury them in the divisional conversation, and you prove to people, hey, we're a 9-1 team. We're not just talking about winning the division. We're talking about being the number one overall seed in the AFC, maybe, if we win. I think there's some pressure with that.
There's a chance to do things that so many teams don't do. And I always liken it to fights, Alex. You know, it's like UFC. You watch some UFC sometimes. Some guys getting just totally beat up. And then the fighter doesn't put him out, doesn't knock him out, and guess what happens? Sucker punch or whatever, and the other guy's done. Like, you're getting beat up all this time. Like, all these teams have a chance to knock the Chiefs out. And I know people are celebrating when the Chiefs were getting knocked down early in the season.
Sure.
But this is a true you can knock the Chiefs out moment. Like, you always look for these moments. You got to kick them when they're down, those kind of things. Like, you got to take advantage when Rashee Rice isn't playing. Xavier Worthy was hurt those three games. Like, that's when you got to take advantage of the Chiefs. And three teams did. But this is one of those chances right in front of you, even though they still have a division game in Kansas City, but this is in Denver. This is much different for them. This is a true knock the Chiefs. If you want to and you're tired of the Chiefs winning 9 straight division titles, this is your chance. And you know Sean Payton is drilling that in their heads because it seems like they're getting that message.
Well, because if you lose, if you're Denver on Sunday, and then we fast forward to week 17, week 18, and the Chiefs are a win away from, you know, winning the division, or if they have one thing go their way, they win the division, this will be the week everybody looks back on and says, you had your chance. Heck, if I'm a Chargers fan, you know, is while you're also chasing the Broncos, it's kind of weird. They're in a weird spot. Like, if you're the Broncos, or if you're the Chargers, I'm sorry, you want the Broncos to come back to the pack for you. But at the same time, you also, I think, in a weird way, if you're a Chargers, you want to just alleviate the Chiefs too and say, all right, let's just worry about the Broncos the rest of the way, knowing what we just said there. So yeah, it is a massive swing game for the Chiefs, for the Broncos, and how everybody perceives this division the rest of the way. This is what Nick Benito had to say about the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, and I said it the other day on Thursday night. I mean, you know, this division has been run by the Chiefs for so many years now. So, I mean, if we're going to want to be that team to win division and, you know, reach the goals that we said we want, we're going to have to go through them and beat them. So, you know, we're excited for the opportunity.
Talk about the mental edge you have if you win this game, if you're Kansas City. Like, if you win, then once again, you know, I know you get the Broncos, as you said, Bank, again at home later on. But if you beat Denver, and knowing what Nick Benito just said there, that's just a massive mental edge I think you have over the Broncos. You'd say, all right, hey, I thought we had a chance to bury them. We didn't. They came into our house. They beat us. Oh, my gosh. Here we go again. The Chiefs are still here. Like, I think there's just a massive edge the rest of the season for the Chiefs over the Broncos if they win. And it changes how the Chiefs locker room approaches the rest of the year. Because let's be real, there's also the other scenario. If Kansas City loses on Sunday, to me, I think you are looking around a little bit in the locker room. You're 5-5. You're saying, wait, are we really not going to make the playoffs? That to me, not everybody, not with the vets, but some other guys in that locker room, you're telling me that's not creeping in their mind if they lose on Sunday?
Yeah, and the Chiefs have held that mental edge so much on teams. And sometimes, you know, when the Chiefs had 11 straight games, winning one score games, you know what it came down to, Alex? It wasn't really the X's and O's. It came down to the mental advantage. It's just like the Raiders fumbling it away at the end. That's the mental pressure of, oh, we have a chance to knock out the Chiefs. And then they don't do it. They're not thinking attention to the detail. Things get lost. But the Chiefs dance in people's heads a bit. It's that mental advantage that's not football-wise. You can't look at X's and O's. It's the mental advantage. And they get it. That stuff by Benito wasn't smack talk for him, wasn't trash talk, because it obviously works the other way against the Chiefs, where they take this thing to heart. So he's not doing that. And that's some of Sean Payton's probably leadership with that team. Hey, just like Andy Reid, no bulletin board material, beat it. But here's the thing. Patrick Mahomes is 13-1 against Broncos. That's got to be embarrassing for him. Remember, the Chiefs won a 16-game streak in a row. 16 straight freaking games against the team is unheard of in the National Football League. Because you get accidents that happen all the time. Just like Buffalo losing to Miami and getting hammered. That's an anomaly. That's an asterisk. Those things don't typically happen. But 16 straight against the team, is, be honest with you, that's ridiculous.
I think something that is probably more of a late in the game if the Chiefs are fortunate enough to have the lead or control. But I think it was Nate Taylor who mentioned this to us weeks ago, that he doesn't think Andy Reid and this coaching staff has forgotten about how the Broncos handled week 18 last year. We all remember the Chiefs, of course, just completely, you know, went in with one of the most vanilla game plans you'll ever see in an NFL regular season.
Carson Wentz game.
Carson Wentz, they did nothing. And the Broncos ran the score up. absolutely ran it up. And I normally we say, hey, man, you can stop them. It's not so much that's that the Chiefs basically were doing you a favor to a certain extent to lay down a bit. And I think there is some truth to what Nate Taylor was saying a few weeks ago about that, where like the Chiefs, they are out for blood, not just because of the divisional circumstance, but I don't think they forgot how Sean Payton handled week 18 last week. Last
of course,
year.
And when you think about the Broncos and what they're saying in Benito there, we say, hey, we got to get through the Chiefs. Like, he understands, all right, it's not about the Chargers, who do have advantages in games over the Broncos and the Chiefs, actually sitting in a good spot. The fact that they've beaten them twice, they went 3-0 against the division week 1, 2, and 3. So that's a pretty good deal for the Chargers. But for the Chiefs, like you said there, and Nate Taylor, the running up the score last year when you had your backups in that game, then everybody claiming the Chiefs, you know, let the Broncos win so the Bengals didn't get in the playoffs and all that kind of stuff that you had. But for the Chiefs, it's that mindset. It's that championship mindset they have. They talk about that championship swag. They talk about the culture in Kansas City. Well, this is a chance to see it. If all that culture and that championship, you know, mindset this team has, there's a team right in front of you. There's a team right in front of you with three games. They could go to four games. Just like what Mahomes said yesterday. Hey, if we lose this, they got four games on us. Division's probably over at that point. So the Chiefs feel their back in the corner, and a lot of times when somebody feels their back's in the corner, they come out fighting a little bit. So I'm expecting a different Chiefs, and you're coming off the bye week. We've had nothing but to think about this. I mean, I just look at all these little things that have happened to the Chiefs this year, and this is the biggest one. You know, another one, too, when the franchise, or not the franchise is a great show, the Chiefs do, but that one, the ESPN, the Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
I was like, so here the Chiefs go. They're trying to wash that Philadelphia game out of their mind, right? Out of mind, out of sight, that Super Bowl. And I knew it happened because as soon as the previews for the Kingdom was coming out in August, you know, had the green confetti coming down and all that for the Eagles, I knew they'd be reminded of it again, but I didn't mind it.
I had that Fleetwood Mac song stuck in my head for a while.
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't think the Chiefs would mind it. I thought it honestly would piss them off, be another chip on the shoulder for them as far as going into the season. So this would be the top one. The fact that the Broncos game last year and the fact that all of a sudden the Broncos and, you know, kind of feeling it, even though their fans aren't feeling it, I get there's a lot of Chiefs are going to win this game with their fan base, which is really weird for Broncos fans because usually they are extremely cocky. I mean, they're Buffalo Bills fans times two sometimes, to be honest with you, but they're not like that right now. And I think it's kind of that.
Well, because they're watching their offense.
Attitude, the wait and see attitude.
They're one, because I think there is respect towards Kansas City, but also their offense and Bo Nix.
They booed their team.
Have not played all that great. I mean, and they're coming off a game against the Raiders where it was abysmal. That's a big part of it. We'll get a Broncos perspective tomorrow. Nick Ferguson, who played safety for the Broncos, who does radio in Denver, we've had on the show, I think, once a year over the last couple of years. He'll join us tomorrow in the 10 o'clock hour. So we'll get the Broncos side of things on this whole thing.
The thing
as well.
To me, though, Alex, is make them boo. Like, make them have good defensive stops, get on the scoreboard early, get that crowd instead of the incomplete.
I hate that too.
It's the most annoying thing in all sports. But get them to where they're booing their team. Get them to where Bo Nix is getting booed. Get them to where that Broncos team
is getting booed.
But get the Broncos out of their, you know, get that fan base, not the home field advantage, because it's clearly not when your home fans are booing you. So
I actually think
that home field advantage.
Yeah, I do think Denver's one of the better home fields in the NFL. And in an age where we've got...
It is, but not when your fans are booing.
Sure, I understand. They're not the first fan base that's ever booed their team for not scoring. You know, they had one touchdown in 17 possessions. But I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. We'll get Dane and Hughes' perspective on playing in altitude, playing in Mile High and all that, as he joins us in 20 minutes. We know yesterday, back at practice, Bink, we'll get another practice report later on today, but Isaiah Pacheco did not practice. Also, George Karloftis was limited. We'll keep an eye on that the rest of the week. If Pacheco doesn't practice today, I think it's fairly safe to say that he's unlikely to play on Sunday. I would say it's not looking great for his chances to play, and therefore, you know, who's going to get the call up? Is it Clyde? Elijah Mitchell, as we discussed yesterday. I told you I wanted to be more Breshard Smith, but I came across this from Dan Orlovsky, and I think it speaks to why there's been so much desire from fans and from us on this show to see them go under center and help the run game, which also therefore will help the passing game a little bit. And this is kind of telling. I don't think this is a coincidence. You tell me. This is the percentage that teams go under center this year. Okay, the top five teams and the bottom five teams. So let me just tell you the top five teams. You might notice a trend. The team that goes under the center the most, Seattle, 70% of the time. The Rams, 69% of the time. The Lions, 52% of the time. So there's a huge gap, by the way, between Seattle. I'm not saying the Chiefs need to be on Seattle's level 70%. That's crazy. But it works for Sam Darnold.
And also, these quarterbacks are used to that kind of system.
No doubt. No doubt. Lions, 52%. Bills, 51%. Patriots, 47%. Those are the top five teams. Bottom five, Saints only do it 18% of the time. Bengals, 15% of the time. Chiefs, 11. Commanders, 7. Falcons, 6. You notice there's a difference between those five teams. The first five are all Super Bowl contenders. The bottom five, there's one team that's a Super Bowl contender, and it's Kansas City. I'm not saying that 11% needs to be 70%. Absolutely not. It doesn't even probably need to be top five. I don't need them to even be at 47% of the time where the Patriots are. Can they just be middle of the road instead of bottom five and going under center? I think we have seen in a couple games this year, Bink, when they go under center a bit more, not only is the run game more effective, but what does it do? It sets up the play action a bit. There was a stretch of games where they were willing to do that. We all know the one circumstance where it was highlighted more, unfortunately, was before halftime against Buffalo, first and goal at the 3, I think it was, or 2. And they went shotgun, I think, to the left of Mahomes, was Kareem Hunt. They're trying to run on first and goal. He gets stuffed, and then we all know what happened. He ended up settling for a field goal. Center, it doesn't even have to, this is the QB sneak thing. This is all of it. But I thought that was interesting, just the grouping of teams. Yeah. Is that a coincidence to you? I don't think it is.
No, and you'd like to see it more. But there's two factors here for the Chiefs. One, that's how Kevin Mahomes has basically been operating a lot, is the shotgun, right? Like, number one, your quarterback feels comfortable in that. And number two, you have to trust your offensive line. I mean, you mentioned teams there that have really good offensive line. Detroit's offensive line is really good. Mm-hmm. The Broncos could be the best offensive line this year in football. So the quarterback has to trust his line because you get more time. And obviously the Bengals are going to be at the bottom list because they don't trust that offensive line at times. Right. So that comes into whether you're under center or shotgun to give you more time to operate as a quarterback, but also where your quarterback feels the best. Now, I look at some of those teams and think, all right, well, Stafford is a general, going back to college, being under center type of guy. Jared Goff, under center type of guy, not complete shotgun type of guy. So I do get that's the comfortability of those
quarterbacks. I don't need it to be 70, 60, 50.
You'd like to see more and they're more effective with that. I'm with you on that.
How about 35% of the time?
Trusting your offensive line, but your quarterback is good in those situations where you can get back there, survey the field a little bit more, have the angles. That's why the pistol offense became so popular, kind of halfway between the shotgun and the center, because the quarterback had the angles.
Yeah.
And
it is
cyclical.
The team on the list, and that makes no sense. Like that has no – not only do the Chiefs, should they not be in the bottom five on this, the Falcons being the team that goes under center the least makes – zero sense. Zach Robinson's their OC, all right? And I know he's rumored to be maybe the next Oklahoma State head coach, although he hasn't impressed me as an OC with Atlanta. They have Michael Penix as their quarterback. You know, if only they had some good running backs there, it'd be smart to go under center in Atlanta. They go under center 6% of the time, and they have Robinson and Algier. That makes no sense.
And Algier's just that
thumper,
man.
That makes zero sense to me.
I think it's because
the Commanders, same thing with them. I know Jaden Daniels has been hurt, but
I think it's because Zach Robinson knows that Michael Penix ran shotgun a majority of the time in college. So I think that
you do have is comfortability, which is true. And also, because I remember when Sam Bradford came out of college. And, at that point, the Rams, is he going to be shotgun or under center? Because at Oklahoma, he was under center or in the shotgun, but in the NFL, they wanted to be under center. So you're actually taking somebody out of their comfort zone. And that was the big talk back then. You know, with these college quarterbacks that are always in shotgun, will they be able to go under center in the National Football League? That was the big talk. That's why people didn't buy into 100% Mahomes in the NFL when it came to it because of, being a shotgun type quarterback.
I'm not saying that even the Falcons don't need to be in the top five, but I just can't believe 6% of the time. And like the Chiefs, only 11% of the time.
I think there's a little bit of devil's advocate. I think that I would play because the Chiefs have scored 28 or more points in 5 of the games. Yep. Like they're scoring points. It's not refraining them from doing that. The Bengals are scoring a lot of points. They've scored almost 40 the last 3 games that they've played.
They're so in shootouts every game.
I think that from an offensive perspective, shotgun isn't necessarily hurting the Chiefs or technically the Bengals on offense the way that it might be other teams, because obviously with the Chiefs in particular, we've seen that success strained over the course of time. I feel like, and maybe it's offensive lines, but the defense for the Chiefs obviously is helping with some of this in terms of them being a contender and also just the offense being as good as it's been where you look at the bottom five of the list and like, well, they're 5-4, but you know, it feels like the offense can still be effective without just going under shotgun or
but
the other teams.
Efficiency would say the Chiefs are doing well because they're number two in points per drive. So the efficiency part of the Chiefs, they are number two right behind the Colts as far as 2.83 points per drive.
You are top five records, the top five teams' records are 34-12. The bottom fives are bottom five are 16-31. And I'm not saying like, oh my gosh, it's that simple. Just go under center and you're going
to
win games.
That's not
my my point is definitely not that like you just do that and automatically you're going to be a winning team, Commanders. Yeah. That's not the point. It's just that I can't believe how far off the pace that they are. And I do not think it's a coincidence that the top five teams are all viewed as Super Bowl contenders. That's all.
Well, and to your point, Gold, I do think like whether they need to do it or not, it does help out the run game, which in turn helps out the passing game with the play action stuff and all the other stuff that comes with it. So you think maybe the Chiefs don't necessarily need it, but maybe it would just make them a tick better because all of a sudden teams have to respect the run maybe a little bit more because they're more effective out of single back formation when Patrick Mahomes is under center. It gives the defense more to think about than just, well, they'll be in shotgun every single time.
You just
time.
Don't want to be predictable. This goes back to tells. You don't want to be predictable because when you're under center, all of a sudden you turn around and hand the ball off to Kareem Hunt because he's more, you know, he's more comfortable being in the backfield.
Sets up play action.
Yeah, you don't want to be a total tell. So when you're under center, you're going to be running the ball. So you don't want to be that way.
In 10 minutes, Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, we'll ask him about this as well. Get a player's perspective. That's coming up in just a bit. Now, yesterday, we didn't get to this. I forgot during one of the breaks yesterday. Of course, Bink is filling in. Logan's filling in. Cody had surgery. Surgery went well. He's expected back on Wednesday. We texted with him yesterday morning. So all is fine there. You called Cody soft. You said you had hernia surgery?
I did.
And you said what happened?
I was back at work.
Away. The next day?
Yeah, next day.
There's no way the doctor said you should have done that.
No, they didn't say either way.
That's
he said, do what you want to do.
So you think
no way.
I was high on a Vicodin and pills, but the boss at the time checked with our HR department and said, is it okay if Jay, you know, goes on the radio because he's saying some silly things? And I was, because I was a little bit out of it, but I still did the show. And you know what? I did cuss. It's the first time I ever used the dump button on myself because I cuss all the time, but I cussed within 5 seconds of the show.
So you shouldn't have been at work.
You think Cody should already be back?
Yes. I do. He should be. Dury Vision. You did Dury Vision. I did Dury Vision. I was a spokesman for a
while. What does that have to do with this?
Because I did Dury Vision and showed up that day to do the show. Well, I did it at 8 o'clock, and I showed up at 10 o'clock to do a solo show because Henry was gone at the time. I'm just saying.
A couple things.
No, it's same thing.
No, a couple things. Number one, getting LASIK, which I did do thanks to Dury, is not the same as having hernia surgery.
Both suck because I couldn't see the screen.
One is using a laser to cut open your abdomen in this case.
Sure.
The other one is using a laser, obviously, and they're creating a flap on your eye, but it's not nearly as invasive. And
they both suck.
I missed one day for the LASIK.
So the LASIK I really enjoyed.
One of the best things.
The hernia sucks.
But you're saying that Cody should be back. I'm going to make sure Cody hears
Cody
this.
Should be back.
I'm going to jot this note down. When Cody's
a
back
week
on
for
Wednesday,
hernia?
When Come Cody's on. Back on Wednesday, we're going to bring this up. I want to play the audio.
Maybe. 1 or 2 days, I get it. A week? Come on, man.
Someone said, Bink, you had hernia surgery back in the 1800s. It's a little bit different now.
No, just a couple years ago, but it was back the next day.
There's also different types of hernias, right? Like, so
I bet it's pretty similar.
Not necessarily. Could be different. He said he's had it for 10 years.
Mine was a long time, too.
I would not expect him to be back this week at all. The guy had surgery.
Bink, I need you to take two seconds right now. Just say Cody Tapp is soft.
Cody Tapp is Charmin. I had to have surgery one time on another issue, and I show up during everything, but I was coming in with you, and actually had to make a phone call to you saying, I'm just not going to be able to make it.
Oh,
that was the toughest phone call to make because I always show up, and I just couldn't that day, so I can't do it, man. I can't, but that's the only day that I've done it, so I have done it.
I think,
but I didn't wait a week.
I think not being back 2 days after surgery is more than acceptable.
I don't think so. I think you should tough it up. I mean, it's Chiefs Broncos, big week.
Oh, you think you should have picked a different week?
The bye week would have been perfect.
I mean, it turns out that the surgeon, there's certain availability, man, and when there's availability, you do it. You don't
find
really,
another one. There's a bunch of doctors.
You don't
in this
say no.
Nope,
I got to wait another 3 months.
He's that guy in the car. Remember that guy was driving around the car doing surgeries?
Oh, you talked in the about back of the Toyota Camry.
Yeah, that guy could have done it.
I don't think that guy was doing hernia surgeries. That guy was.
He
doing
should be
a different
back though. I mean, it's a big week. I get it. Bye week. He should have done it. You plan these things out. Like, Cody, okay, the bye week.
I was, in fairness, one, he probably couldn't get a schedule. I was gone last week, so.
But that was a good week to do it. You were out there swimming with Dolphins. It was the bye week.
Both of us. No. My point is, even if he could have had surgery last week, he couldn't because I was already gone.
Yeah, he could have.
Well, it would have been a bad decision.
You're telling Cody to toughen up, do some smelling salting in the studio is what you're telling him to do.
It's a big week. I mean, one day that's fine, but a whole week? Come on, man.
I'll make sure Cody hears this when we get back.
I'm sure he'll love that. My opinion, I give it to you.
Oh, you did, and I appreciate that. All right, up next, Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, will join us. We'll ask him about Xavier Worthy and these tendencies that are being discussed right now and what he makes of that receiving room in Denver, because not a lot of people are giving it much respect.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get to that next. Look, we all get random emails. I'm not even talking about like true spam, but like somehow you end up on this list. I've tried to get off this list, Bink. I got another email today from the Decatur Morgan County Tourism Board or whatever group. Yeah. I've never Decatur, Georgia or Alabama. Sorry, Decatur, Alabama is actually what this one is. I've never been to Alabama. I have never looked to go to Decatur, Alabama. How am I on this list?
Because they got your email somewhere from a list, from a team or whatever. They bought it and they sent it to you.
Like, it's one thing if I was looking to travel. I've never. But anyway, if you're wondering, they have an annual Christmas tour of homes coming up in Decatur, perfect, Alabama on December 13th.
I still get them from Dallas all the time. Remember that Big 12 media days in there?
Yeah, I remember.
Were you in Boise or Wichita then?
I was in Topeka.
You're Topeka. But anyway, I saw gold down there. I mean, gold from the station, obviously. And had gone down for Big 12 media days. So we go down there, and you and I were at this point. This hotel had these like Fox Sports free dinners and stuff and drinks, and we were hitting like everything free. At
these, Barry Switzer there. Yeah, I remember.
Switzer selfie.
Yes. Yeah. No, I remember that.
That was fun.
No, it was. That was a long time ago.
All
right, let's talk some Chiefs football with Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He, of course, will be in Denver this afternoon on the broadcast with Mitch Holthus and Josh Klingler right here on 96.5 The Fan. And our conversation with Danan are brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. And brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Danan, good to have you on the show. Do you do anything special for the bye week? Did you go back to your player days and say, I'm getting out of town? What did you do?
Well, good to be with you guys. Yeah, it was a nice bye week. Actually, I just relaxed and rested at home and got some quality time with the wife and kids and grandkids. So it was kind of chill. Got out around town to a few of my favorite restaurants and got some good meals and just trying to prepare for this next stretch. But I am disappointed, guys.
Uh-oh.
I'm disappointed in one thing. We got the bye week, opportunity to rest. I look at the injury report. Isaiah Pacheco is the only one on the Chiefs that did not practice. And Cody is not in the building.
Thanks, Dayton.
Like, we need everybody. We need everybody to be participating. We need everybody to suck it up.
Yep.
And be ready for this grind. These next eight games are most important. We are in must-win mode. And Cody's taking a day off for surgery?
Yeah.
What the heck?
I was here the next day after same surgery. I was here the next day, Dana, on that. Hey, I will say this. I'm curious. Whenever you travel to these places, because I know that you guys have a chance for Buffalo Wings there in Buffalo and all that, is there any place in Denver you want to go to, or is that a no-no? Is it just pack your lunch and bring it to Denver because you don't want to spend any money in Denver?
So, you guys know I don't eat bone-in wings, right. So I didn't really eat any wings in Buffalo.
It's ridiculous, too, Damon.
Yeah, team bone-in for boneless for life. I am boneless. Hashtag boneless for life. Denver, you guys are one of the great movies of all times, a hidden gem. Things to do in Denver when you're dead. You ever heard of that?
Yes.
It's a great movie. Great movie. Andy Garcia. Yeah, great movie. So for listeners out there, the adult listeners, go watch that. Excellent movie. But to answer your question, not really. I mean, we went to a Nuggets game a few years ago. I don't have any desire to do anything outside of Denver but win. They have won the last 10 home games in a row dating back to week 6 last year. So they've been dominant at home. So I feel like this is a business trip that although I may go out to dinner with the sponsors that the Chiefs bring in, I don't feel like it's going to be very social outside of that.
Coming off a bye week, if you're a player, if you're a coach, we all know you do some self-scouting. We know the public information normally doesn't get out there about how a team is noticing tendencies. You're trying to break your own tendencies. It was the Bills a couple weeks ago. One of their players mentioning a tendency that they saw from Xavier Worthy. That's been a topic all week here. As a wide receiver, I'm assuming you probably had tendencies as a player as well. How normal is that? How easy is that to break? And how big of a deal is it?
It's very normal, guys, to have tendencies. I think in any sport, heck, in any walk of life, there's ways that you show up to work. There's ways that you show up on the court, on the field. And if you're paying attention, if you have a wily veteran or a coach that is dialed in, you can find out anything about anybody as far as their tendencies, how they break the huddle, how they line up. I was watching, I reposted the 1997 Chiefs-Broncos game with Pete Stojanovic kicking the game-winning field goal.
All right.
And I watched myself on that tape, and I was like, oh, this is a run play. Oh, that's a pass play. Oh, I'm not getting the ball. Like, I was like, I'm like, from an analyst standpoint now, what, almost 30 years later, like you recognize, like, oh my gosh, like, was it that glaring? Did other teams or other players recognize some certain things? And that's where you have to be focused and disciplined as a player. And more so, if a coach finds something, the tricky part is not necessarily finding things, guys. It's having the guts to be able to dial into it and to roll the dice. I mean, people talk about Tony Romo and his abilities to call plays before they happen. Most analysts can do that. It's just having the guts to do it. It's having the guts to roll the dice and in case you're wrong. In the case of plays being tipped or players tipping plays, you have to roll the dice on whether you're wrong. If you think it's going to be a run based on somebody's alignment and then you're wrong and you get gashed, then it's your fault. So it's not so much that you can't find out things. It's just a matter of if the coaching and, more importantly, if the players are willing to roll the dice on what they study and see. But it is very normal across the landscape, and it might not happen. Here's the key. Those tendencies might not show themselves in the first drive or the first quarter. They show themselves when you start getting tired, when you start grinding, when you got that 12-play drive and you start – breathing heavy. Now all of a sudden what I saw in film becomes more prevalent, and it gets down to the minute details. I remember being coached from Bill Snyder in college, even with the Kansas City Chiefs later in my career, guys lining up at 9 yards versus lining up at 9.5. Guys right foot forward versus left foot forward. Their eyes are into the quarterback versus their eyes on me at the wide receiver position. Even in special teams and punt rushes and punt blocks and kickoff returns and reverses and all that stuff. So it's out there. It's just a matter of having the discipline and the willingness and the guts to roll the dice.
How rare is it, though, for a player, like I think it was Hairston for the Bills, to just publicly, hey, here was his tendency to say that. Like, why would you even say that publicly?
I think it's a great ploy. It's a great game within the game. If you really want to get inside the head of another player, what better way could you do that? If you want Xavier Worthy, let's say we face the Bills in the postseason, and you want Xavier Worthy to be thinking about something else besides making a big play or jet sweeps or flip passes or being in the wishbone, all the quirkiness of what we display offensively. Have him thinking a little bit about his alignment. Have him thinking a little bit about how he breaks the huddle. That little bit can be the difference between a big play being made and not being made. So I give him credit. Now, it's a rookie that said it. If you're talking about Hairston, like, that's bold. And you got to put yourself on the island, but obviously he has a lot of moxie and a lot of confidence because I think it's pretty bold. It's just another level of trash talk.
Obviously, this is a big game. 17-3 against the Broncos the previous 10 years, last decade, Danon. And I know you guys made an emphasis with Marty to beat the Raiders. Heck, Danon, you were 9-1 against the Raiders as a player. But you were 5-6.
Why'd you have to bring that one up?
Well, the one. You're actually the division because the Seahawks were in it, too. The Seahawks, you actually had more wins than anybody when you were a player, Dana. But you were 5-6 against the Broncos. When you look at the Broncos now, and of course the Chargers are there, too. You had a winning record in the Chargers, too, by the way. But when you look at the Broncos, is this public enemy number one for the Chiefs? And now the Raiders just aren't as viable as what they were when you were playing. How big is this rivalry, do you think, to the Chiefs? Now to the Broncos, Patrick Mahomes is 13-1 against them. Does this ring true for Denver and the hatred toward the Kansas City Chiefs? Like, how big, when you look at the hierarchy of the AFC West, is Chiefs and Broncos once again?
So I will say this. I have almost the same level of hatred for the Raiders as I do the Broncos, and here's why. You mentioned the 9-1 record. The one loss was the last game I played in my career, 1998. What? The last game of the season, we lost to the Raiders. So thanks a lot for bringing that up. The other part is the Denver Broncos. We didn't fare as well against them. The last playoff game that I played in as a player, we lost to the Denver Broncos. So thanks for bringing that up. I could say equal hatred, Bink.
It was close,
Damon, for these guys. But, you know, the fact remains is that we had no love for anybody else in the AFC West. Seattle was in it back then, and you felt the same way. There was definitely a heightened kind of level of anger and vitriol when you talked about the Raiders and definitely the Broncos. So I feel like these guys feel it too nowadays. They may not speak about it, but I think they feel it, and especially when you consider the last time we faced them. We didn't go out with all of our starters. We were in a great position, but they drummed us pretty good up there, and now we got an opportunity to change the tide.
We're talking to Danon Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. I asked you about Xavier Worthy. What about the Broncos wide receiver room? So much is focused in on their defense, obviously Bo Nix, but the wide receiver room, does it deserve more credit? Is it pretty pedestrian? What do you see from that room that I know is headlined by Cortland Sutton, but I don't think they impress a whole lot of people, at least on the fan side of things?
The one thing that jumps out to me is their size. And Cortland Sutton, as you mentioned, the first one, 6'4". Then you got Troy Franklin, 6'3". Bryant, 6'2". I mean, they're big guys. Even Marvin Mims, he's not listed very tall, but he plays bigger. So you got to consider they like to – their game plan offensively is not to put themselves in a position to make mistakes that cost their defense. So don't turn the ball over on their end of the field, so you're giving the defense short field, so the defense has, you know, less opportunity to win. So what they've done a lot of is fade routes on the outside, slant routes from the outside, bubble screens to those big receivers. They can run the ball effectively in open space. So that's kind of their MO, crossing routes, because not only is it tough to keep up with the wide receiver on a crossing route, but if he's 6'4", it's even tougher to deal with as a corner or a safety. So they simplify the offense for Bo Nix that makes it minimal in regards to abilities to put their defense in holes. So that when you consider where they are, they lead the league with 53 punts on the season. So they've opted to say, you know what, we're going to punt the ball away to opposing offenses and roll the dice there, as opposed to rolling the dice with the efficiency and the passing of our offense and putting the weight on the shoulders of Bo Nix. That's kind of been their MO this year, and how do you argue with that when they're 8-2?
Dana, when you look at their defense, obviously that pass rush is elite, something we haven't seen in the last 35 years as far as the amount of sacks they have this far in the season. I know people are talking about Nick Benito a lot. That's fine. But Zach Allen's pretty good as well on that defensive line. He can get after the quarterback. But I'm curious, because Denver is so good in so many areas on defense, no Surtain in this game. But they did draft Jahdae Barron, the corner out of Texas. Already has an interception. I think that was a smart draft pick considering other teams in the division went running back. They go corner. But when you look at that, is there a place where the Chiefs can exploit this Denver defense, or how much of a problem can that pass rush be? Can the Chiefs actually throw against the Broncos?
I think we can. I mean, I hate to say it from one side because he's a former Hawkeye, but Riley Moss has been a guy that has been targeted a lot. T. Higgins pretty much owns him over the last 2 years. And that's just one receiver that has had success against Riley Moss. And when you consider without Patrick Surtain, the second, how will Denver line up their defense when you consider with us, Rashee Rice on the outside? Will they employ more zone coverage? I think they'll probably employ more zone coverage and challenge us to see how confident, how comfortable we are with 12 to 14 play drives in that hostile environment and not really expose that rookie Barron or Riley Moss to potential big plays down the field. Plus, we're tough to man-to-man cover because we run so much motion and shifts and we move guys inside and out that lining up man-to-man, you create some uncertainty from a defensive standpoint. So I feel like there's opportunity. I will say number 9, Hufanga, the safety, to me, he's a problem. Because he runs around, he's like a Tasmanian devil out there. Like his head, like he is everywhere, and he finishes plays. He plays through the echo of the whistle, and that has been a huge component. So although you give love to those front line guys, the front seven, and Singleton being a factor, coming Benito obviously being the anchor, Cooper as far as a rush, those guys in the back end, they play really good complementary football. And that safety number 9, he's kind of the pulse of that defense. He plays with the intensity that contributes to their winning ways defensively. So we're going to have our hands full.
Before we let you go, Dana, I want to ask you about something we discussed in the first segment of the show. I just thought it was interesting. There's been a lot of talk about the Chiefs, specifically, in short yardage and going under the center versus being in shotgun and trying to run the ball and some of the success or lack thereof. And there was some numbers that were put out this week that the top 5 teams that go under center this year, Seattle, the Rams, the Lions, the Bills, the Patriots, bottom 5, Saints, Bengals, Chiefs, Commanders, Falcons. Now, the Chiefs do it 11% of the time. Seattle does it 70. I am by no means saying the Chiefs need to be anywhere near 70% of the time going under center. That's just not who their quarterback is, not how their team is, etc. But do you think this team could be more effective if they went under center at least a little bit more?
Absolutely. I think in many ways, when you consider when this offense has been efficient running the ball with Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, it has been the sole eye formation, Kareem Hunt, Pacheco, 6 yards, 7 yards deep behind the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes under center. It has been kind of night and day to me as far as their efficiency and effectiveness in the run game. And then it changes the angles of the rush on the outside. When you have those outside guys in this situation, you have Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper. If you're standing in shotgun formation, the angles and the exposure of the tackles is different than if you're under center. They have to come a little tighter to the line of scrimmage when you're under center because you still have the threat of a run play. when you're in shotgun, they can come a little wider up the field, which can expose the tackles and put them more on an island and susceptible to the speed rush from the outside. So I think that's what's great about this bye week being when it was, because the self-scouting, as you mentioned earlier, really comes into effect, where I'm sure our personnel pointed that out, and we'll see maybe some minor adjustments. I don't think we'll get to the point of being 70%, like you said, but if we can increase that number closer to 40 or 50 and get in less predictable situations and not allow those outside rushers to pin their ears back because we're in shotgun and we throw the ball more from shotgun than we run, then I think that'll bode well for us.
Danen Hughes will be listening Sunday afternoon right here on 96.5 The Fan, Chiefs Broncos. Tonight, players only, right? 6 o'clock?
No players only this week after the bye. I was on last week. I'll be back next week.
Okay.
I think you guys got some K-State action tonight. So tune in next week. We'll talk about this Donkeys win.
I love it. There you go. Thanks, Danen.
All right.
Thanks,
that's Danen Hughes with us here on 96.5 The Fan. Our conversations with Danen brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer.
Yeah, Hufanga, the safety for the Broncos.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
He came over from the Niners. This dude is a stud. I mean, second leading tackler on the team, but he's got 2 sacks as well. They do blitz him. So in certain situations, like, he's a big part of that pass rush for the Broncos. He'll come up and go after the quarterback from the safety position. So that is... he is an incredibly good player.
Here in 10 minutes, we will get to some comments from Missouri football coach Eli Drinkwitz. I thought they were very interesting about kind of the current climate of college football with the way the college football playoff is set up. I thought they were interesting comments based on where they currently sit as a program, but it impacts the entire world of college football. I thought that was interesting, so we'll get there in a bit. Yesterday, I hope you guys caught it, because I thought it was a really good interview, especially if you like hearing somebody nationally talk about Kansas City. Jim Nance was on with CDOT yesterday, and you should go back and listen to it. But one part really stood out to me, because we've had debate on this show months back, all the way back, I guess it would have been in April because of the Masters. And that was Drew saying he could break 100 at Augusta. You guys remember this? And it was a whole back and forth. And remember, we almost got Drew into the Corn Ferry Tour, the whole thing, all right? That was supposed to happen. I still think it should happen. Anyway, Drew said he could break 100 at Augusta. And we said, well, not from the tips, not from where the pros are going. But anyway, Drew, they basically asked Jim Nance that question. Mm. So here was his answer.
Depends on what tees they put you on. That's the truth, okay? If they put you all the way back, no. But if you play like the members' tees, yes. Now, look, my game is shoddy. It used to be decent decades ago. But when I play Augusta, it all comes down to, can you chip and putt? If you're going to hole out everything and have a legitimate score, can you chip and putt? Because you can drive it in a lot of places for us wild hitters off the tee. You can still manufacture a second shot and get the ball close to the green, if not on the green, with your second shot. The canopies are raised high enough, and you're not going to be stymied that many times, and there's not that much out of bounds. And I mean, it's pretty generous off the tee. But you better be able to putt, and you better be ready to experience chipping and putting and balls running out like you've never seen in your life.
What do you make of that? Because from the tips, no chance, which
Again,
is what we said.
I think he referenced himself, though, for the because the question was, the weekend golfer, the people who are like the regular Joes that play.
That would be you. And you don't even golf on a weekend basis.
What would you consider? I'd be.
Wait, you think you're better than the random weekend golfer?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Drew is awful.
I played with one of our Odyssey salespeople.
Yeah.
And
Oh, that makes you pro.
No. No, I played with him and a couple of his friends, and shot 38 on a par 36. First time I played in 7 months, and there I was like, I understand. They're like, what handicap are you? I was like, I don't know, probably like a 7 or 8. They're like, no, I think you're more like a 5 or 6. Legitimately, I think there's a difference between 5 and 6 in weekend golfer who shoots a 45 like a bogey round, which is 18, which is like for 18, your handicap's 18. If you play bogey golf, I feel like if
members tee, I'll give you based on what Jim Nance said. Members tee, absolutely, you could do it then.
But I think Jim is right though. That it all comes down to the chipping and putting.
from the tips, though, from where the pros are going, you're not breaking 100 at Augusta. And the question was not even asked about, like, we obviously, it's the same question we've asked with you, but I think Carrington phrased it like about Speck, because Speck has also said the same thing.
I think Speck and I could both break 100 from the tips. If Speck is the handicap that he says he is, I think, because again, this it's not just bogey golf.
I
you could double bogey every single hole on one of the nines and bogey the other nine, not get a single solitary par and break 100 at Augusta.
But I think what we've said is you're telling me there's not going to be one hole where it just blows up in your face. And we're talking not just triple bogey. I don't know. We're talking that you are literally going to have it blow up in your face on one particular hole.
No, if we're talking what Jim Nantz said, and I believe it's true, where the course is relatively wide open.
You'd be in Ray's Creek.
I don't think I'd be in Ray's Creek. No.
Did you like Jim's answer then?
Yeah,
or no? Or you disagree?
I thought he was honest for the everyday weekend golfer that probably shoots 45 every single time.
The pros land in Ray's Creek.
That's because they try to bink. The reason they land in Ray's Creek is because they're trying to hit they're trying to carry a 250-yard shot with a 4-iron over the creek to get to the green and two. I'm not going for the green and two. I'm laying up.
I want to see this now.
I'm laying up. I'm not going for it.
And the texture's correct. Another argument that we'll never probably be able to get the real answer to.
Probably.
I'm going to see you fight, and I want to see you play the Masters.
I mean,
Bink, I will.
I still think we need to get you in the Pro-Am or whatever, the Korn Ferry qualifying, I'm sorry. Remember, we were very close to making this happen this past June.
Yeah.
I think it still needs to happen.
Yep.
And again, the debate was not whether we'll qualify, but like if he has a good showing there, then it gives me even more faith
that
he could do it.
There is zero chance I would qualify. Yeah, I would have had to bag a 67.
Yeah, nobody, that wouldn't be like, it's not like, oh, if you don't qualify, you can't break 100. That's at Augusta. That wasn't it. But just that was going to be the fun part of the whole thing.
And also, Dana's right. When he talked about the hernia surgery, you get back this big week. He was right about that. And
I see Dana's cut, too. We're going to play that back.
Also right about tells, because you have a tell, Drew. Whenever you walk in with a drink or something, I know you're not going to Quick Trip. Like,
I haven't been.
And if it's a podcast day, I know you're not going to Quick Trip. I look at you when you come in.
I haven't been to Quick Trip, legitimately. I haven't been to this Quick Trip here in, like, months.
You gave me a burrito yesterday.
Yeah, from McDonald's.
But I know you're not going out if you come a certain way. Like, you have a tell about you. I can tell right when you walk in if you're going to go out for something to drink or eat later.
Up next, let's get to what Eli Drinkwitz had to say about the state of college football. Interesting comments. And what we could see with coaches this offseason in the NFL, even if they make the playoffs. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.